All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on the 27th day of November 2018. I do want to remind you that my newsletter is Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks can be subscribed to by going to miningstocks.com. Miningstocks.com. Also like to consider, have you consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? He has done extremely well with the biotech sector and always has some really interesting things that he follows. Learns to know the management very well and can provide insights that I think his subscribers, well, they pay a nice price for, but if they follow his work closely and have the time to be next to their computers and trade, can do extremely well. And, of course, we have Michael Oliver with us in just a couple of minutes, and it's olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. For almost any market that you care to follow, Michael covers for his more extensive service, but he also has a lower-cost service for that just focuses on the precious metals and the we'll ask him about that in a couple of minutes from now. Do want to thank you for listening to this show, making it the most popular show, or at least one of the most popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. And would like to really encourage you to continue sending along your questions, your comments, whatever they may be, to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number for taylor@gmail.com. Our sponsors for today's show, which we are grateful for because they make this show possible, RN Resources, Great Bear Resources, Novo Resources, Sandstorm Gold, Triumph Gold, Gold Mining, Inc., Uranium Energy, and Klondike Gold Corp. I've titled today's show Surviving and Profiting from Internet Warfare. Richard Mayberry, Peter Talman, and Michael Oliver are with me today. In a global world interconnected by computers from the seats of global power into our dens and living rooms, we are more vulnerable to intrusive snooping and theft than ever before, not only by thieves and by our own government and foreign governments, but also by corporations well connected to governments, not to mention renegade ex-military quality hackers. I do want to ask Richard Mayberry to discuss our personal vulnerability, how we can protect ourselves against internet intrusions, and some profit-making trends that he sees in this field as well to evolve as individuals and governments seek to protect their sovereign rights and their own security, their internet security. If time permits, I also want to ask Richard to comment a little bit on the U.S. economy and, in particular, his views on where we're at in terms of the velocity of money, which is really a big deal in terms of inflation. Richard always has a velocity index that he keeps track of, and I want to find out where he sees things now in terms of the U.S. dollar velocity. Peter Talman will update us on the new geological insights that he and his company has gained this past year from the drill program, very extensive drill program on the Klondike Gold project that they are working on. A very interesting story, and I think whilst the stock has really gotten battered from a geological point of view in terms of exploration and the insights that they've gotten, it's quite a story that you should be paying some attention to. But right now, I'm really pleased to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me, and he always has some great insights into the markets. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Good to be back, and it's good to tell our listeners it's olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. Michael, really good to have you with me. I want to ask you, you know, I got a very interesting email from a subscriber named Dr. Young. He's a new subscriber of mine. He says, at this time, I think his question is, at this time when, you know, you talk about these major market tectonic shifts that are taking place, and I think Dr. Young's questions are very apropos for the time that we're experiencing right now. And he asks, and I will pass this question on to you and let you take it as you will. While the mining stocks have great potential in the next leg up, what will happen to them in a market crash? Might it be better to wait for the crash and then buy or buy now and hold on? And I know, Michael, you're not necessarily convinced that we're going to see a crash. You've talked about this a lot of times. It might be a, you know, two steps down, one back up, two down, one back up, that kind of thing. But in either event, how would you answer? How would you answer Dr. Young's question?
Well, there was a time, in fact, from up until the 2011 peak in gold, in particular, where gold and miners went in sync with the S&P. Now they outpaced the S&P from 2000 through 2011. In other words, yes, while the S&P rose from its 2002 low and went up to 2011, then had a sell-off coincident with, you know. Anyway, there was somewhat of a linkage, so it can fool people. I don't think the linkage exists anymore. Our work suggests that, no, they're in opposite sync, especially since mid-2016. You got to remember, in late 2015 into early 2016 was a period of weakness for gold miners, right, and S&P. They all bottomed within a month or two of each other in that period, in a cluster of, you know, call it November, December through January, February of 2016. And then they took off. Well, the takeoff in gold and the takeoff on the upside in GDX is far bigger than what the S&P did during that period of time, up through mid-2016. But then at that point, gold and gold miners went back down. Gold didn't go down so much, it stayed in the upper half of the range. But GDX went down from like 30-plus. It had been at $12.40 in late 2015, and it shot up to over 30, and then pulled all the way back down to like 17 here recently, and now we're trading either side of 19. So this pullback since of the last 2 years plus has been contrary to the direction of the S&P, which has been more upside. But what's curious, we did a report this weekend, partly tongue-in-cheek, but very real. A lot of times, sentiment and feelings of people aren't in line with reality.
Yeah.
And if you entered optimally, let's say you bought the S&P in that late 2015, early 2016 period, or if you bought the GDX, the gold miner ETF, unleveraged, in the same time period, you're actually better off in the GDX right now than you are in the S&P.
And that's amazing.
If you tell
people
that at a Christmas cocktail party, they'll chuckle.
Yeah,
but
they won't
wrong.
Believe you. They won't believe
the,
you. Yeah.
The issue is the entry point. Mm-hmm. And when gold turned up in early 2016, and specifically first week of February, we got bullish. We got bullish on GDX at that time as well. But price then was on the GDX was in the $14 area, a bit off the low at $12.40. And it's trading either side of 19. You do the percentages, and you'll see that that's actually more up right now than is the S&P as of Friday's close.
Oh.
In fact, if you do it 3 years exactly, we went back to the November 20th close of 2015, so 16, 17, 18, so 3 years exactly through Friday's close last year, last week, it shows that the GDX was up 44%, S&P was up 26%.
Wow. Well, that's that's very surprising.
Yes, that's very surprising.
Michael, I would say, though, however, that the GDX, of course, those are the senior miners, the big guys that are in the sector. And we know companies like Kirkland Lake and others that have done extremely well. The companies that I follow and the sponsors of this show during that time frame have not done well. They've gotten battered pretty hard, which is why I really like to I really like them now, actually, in a way, because I think at least the ones that I have confidence in, I think the upside could be very, very significant. If we finally get a turnaround in gold. But before we get to that, let me just ask you one other question Dr. Young had. You know, he's a lot of people are talking about a reset of the dollar. A lot of people are talking about a new monetary regime. This one is getting kind of long in the tooth since Bretton Woods, the breakdown of Bretton Woods in 1971. I haven't heard you talking about a new monetary regime, but you do have a sense of the dollar. And you're pretty, unless I'm wrong, you're very bearish on the dollar longer term.
It's hard
right?
to be that way, you know, but our technical work says, yes, you should be bearish on the dollar. As of May of 2017, in fact, it says be bearish as it came down from over 100 on the dollar index down to 99, we get bearish. Now, right now it's at 97, and it's had a good rally to get here. But we view it as a very strong counter-trend rally to the major new direction, which I think was set in May of 2017. So I don't think it's going to succeed. Now, the main thing you have to look at there is the euro, because euro is 57% of the dollar index.
Yeah,
so
right.
In effect, I'm saying, well, the euro is going to be okay. Well, how can that possibly be? And geez, if I can figure it out fundamentally, but technically it argues that. Now, I can fantasize some things that may come to be, but as far as the dollar reset, yes, we've commented on it at margin. The Chinese have been accumulating gold like crazy, and they're now the number one gold producer. I think it's an assumption that's valid that at some point in the next few years, especially as we get into more of a debt and a currency crisis, they're going to have a gold-backed yuan. And it wouldn't shock me if the Russians have a gold-backed ruble. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't shock me that there's some intellectual folks in Europe, particularly in Germany, who may not hold the reins of power right now, mm-hmm. but are increasing their position of power because of the diminishing position of power of the Merkels,
mm-hmm.
that don't like what the ECB has been doing in the forex markets and the debt markets,
mm-hmm.
and that they may want to reconfigure the euro in some manner, perhaps sure. backed by gold, I'm not sure. But if you get into a crisis situation, particularly led by debt, which I think is what we're headed into, it's going to affect the forex markets, and it's going to affect the thinking of people who can make changes in what central banks have been doing and might not be doing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a reset.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's both motivated by thinking ahead of the curve, like maybe the Chinese are, but also events that will happen will reshape people's thought processes.
Right, right, for sure.
You know, so let's don't do this again type of mentality.
Yeah. All right, Michael, we're just about out of time, but with regard to Dr. Young's question, and he says, if there is a reset of the dollar, would it be better to buy more physical metal and then convert it to the new currency to buy stocks then?
That's possible, because I think that at that point stocks will be in the tank and will have discounted the compounded error over the past 10 years,
mm-hmm.
namely artificial pricing of stocks up in the developed markets by central banks. If we can erase that,
mm-hmm.
Like get the S&P back down, you know, some deep level, back to 1,500, for example. I don't mm-hmm. have any projections, but if I think that would occur opposite to a gold advance, where gold then becomes the backing of certain major currencies, in
mm-hmm.
which case the gold both ends and it sort of disappears behind currencies
mm-hmm.
at a lofty level. But it's going to take a crisis to get that. But in the process, yes, stocks might be, not gold stocks, but broad stock market could be mm-hmm. vastly lower than it is now, in which case it might, in fact, be a time to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't see gold stocks being attached or in sync with the general equity market, I guess.
If they were lofty and had not mm-hmm. come down the way they have, when
right.
you take a GDX index from 66 and you take it to $12.40
mm-hmm.
from 2011 through 2015, what do you want? Mm-hmm. It's not going to go to zero. Yes, some miners might, but the index itself won't be replaced by other miners in the ETF. So
right.
the point being that they're only so low they can go, and they do reflect the commodity. And therefore, if the commodity isn't going to collapse anymore, and they've had their collapse, which looks to me like a theoretical zero low they made at 1240,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to go to zero. That therefore, they're literally as low as they're going to go. The issue
mm-hmm.
then is when do they turn in a more demonstrable way?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's too far away.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Michael. We are out of time. Thank you very much for your insights. And, of course, folks, Michael is looking, and his comments are made first and foremost from what his technical analysis is telling him. But he also is very much understanding of the fundamentals of markets and is a free market advocate, that's for sure. And we always love having him with us. Thanks so much for being with us again, Michael. Well, hopefully we'll do it again next week. All right. Well, folks, don't go away, though, because I'm going to be back with Peter Talman, CEO of Klondike Gold. And that's one of my favorites. Wow, you talk about companies and stocks that have gotten battered. Klondike Gold has really taken it on the chin recently, but I think it's got great upside, and Well, we'll hear what Peter Talman has to say about that when he comes back right after the break.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Turning Hard Times into Good Times is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and the NYSE as SAND.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.